Lord, open our eyes and our hearts that we might hear and believe your word to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Were you able today, sometimes you can't always see it, but today it's really clear, were you able to hear through all the readings, the common thread, the common theme through all the readings? If you missed some of them, or you're just mesmerized by the choir singing Psalm 65, which I was, then let me just refresh in case you missed it. In Sirach, the Apocryphal, or Ecclesiasticus, the Apocryphal reading, 28 verse 4, it says, or it asks this question, if someone has no mercy towards another human like himself, can he then seek pardon for his own sins? If someone has no mercy towards a human like himself, can he then seek pardon for his own sins? That's a good question. And then as the choir sang from Psalm 103 in verse 11, such a beautiful psalm. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he set our sins from us. Amen. And then the Romans passage in 14:10, it asks, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And then we come to the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 18, where Peter asks this question about how many times we must forgive our brother. Seven times? And Jesus says, no, 77. And of course, he doesn't mean just count it up. He's saying, this is not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is forgiveness. And he goes on and makes that clear with the parable, this shocking parable about a forgiveness that is can't be paid back, that is unfathomable, doesn't make any sense. This great forgiveness. So the theme is very clear in all the readings. This thread is very clear, and it is forgiveness. So that means I am tasked today to preach about forgiveness. But if you were here last week, you might remember that Father Chase preached an excellent sermon on forgiveness, covering just about every base possible. How to be careful not let someone get hurt in a bad relationship, or how it affects our own heart, how Christ transforms us, all these great things he covered last week. So, as you know, especially if you're an educator, you know that repetition is good for learning. It helps you remember things. So what I've decided is that I've got Father Chase's notes here, and I guess I'll just preach his sermon again. So here we go. Back when we lived in Florida, our home's backyard seamlessly blended into our neighbors. No fences or shrubbery to separate us. And we had this crazy neighbor who didn't know how to make straight lines. He only liked zigzags and circles, and he was always crossing over. One time I caught him chasing Rachel. Wait, that I don't think that's quite the way that the sermon went last week. But So since Scripture has so much to say about forgiveness, hopefully I can think of another thing or two to add today that might be helpful. And the first thing I want to think about is often when we think about something that we affirm as Christians, that we believe and trust in God, that oftentimes our culture, the world around us, doesn't agree with us. It sees what God says is not good. But here we have something in common with our culture, the broader culture. In general, not only our culture today, but throughout history, people tend to like forgiveness. It tends to be a pretty popular concept. And you can see that all over the place. Now, part of it is clear to us as Christians that the reason why we share this in common with our culture is because all people are made in the image of God. And so there, even in fallen, broken human beings like you and me, we understand that we're made in the image. And so that's part of what draws us to forgiveness and everything that is good. But what a couple of other reasons, I think, why we have this in common with the culture, why we're on the same page, at least in part. And that is one of the things that Father Chase did cover last week, partly is that the culture recognizes that forgiveness is good for me personally. It doesn't, every psychologist, every counselor, psychiatrist, everybody knows that if you hold on to a grudge, it eats away at you. It's like poison, Father Chase said. It ends up doing often you, does you more harm than it does the person you're mad at. And so for the culture, okay, we get it. It's demonstrable. Forgiving actually does something for you, your inner being. So So that's good. We can agree on that. And I think the other, another big reason why we're on the same page with our culture is that forgiveness makes for really good stories. There's so many books, so many movies, TV shows, songs about forgiveness. Everybody, and that influences the way we feel about forgiveness. So there's a plethora of examples, but I'll give you three just in case you don't have one at the top of your head. First, the great and classic literature of J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter. Do you remember when poor Ron was so mad at Harry because he got into that tournament with a Quidditch tournament? And they lost that friendship for that whole book, and we had to read through that whole book. And finally, at the end, they forgive each other, and oh, it's so great. Hermione, the whole gang's back together, and we're all so happy because of forgiveness. It's so good. And then, if you're between the ages of about 35 and 55, let me remind you of something you've probably forgotten. This song that you used to hear every time you turned on the radio, every time you went to the grocery store, whether you liked it or not, Bryan Adams. Forgive me, I know not what I do. Forgive me, I can't stop loving you. And now I'm going to ask you to forgive me for putting that song back into your head. And of course, a great movie, at least one of my favorites, Forrest Gump. If you've seen it, you probably know exactly what I'm thinking of. Forrest is such a good guy, and he has his little childhood friend, Jenny, who was kind to him as a child, and Forrest never forgets. And although Jenny, throughout their life, she lies to him, she betrays him, she keeps looking down upon him, Forrest doesn't care. He just keeps loving her and forgiving her over and over again. And so you can see the appeal throughout our culture, throughout the world, of this theme of forgiveness. And so we can agree with that. But now is where we part ways. There, eventually we come to a parting with our culture and with our world. Because there's a limit that runs out of why we can agree. Now I'm going to turn to where we disagree. And that is when it comes to Scripture being actually truly God's Word, being actually God's revelation to us. And it gives us something beyond just because it's good for me, or because it makes a really good story. It's beyond that. This is God's word to us, his revelation about the way the kingdom of God is, the way the kingdom of heaven is. It's a place of forgiveness, a people of forgiveness. This is who we are to be. And so all of Scripture, over and over again, talks about forgiveness. Right from almost the very beginning, there's creation, and then very quickly the fall. And in chapter 3, we already see God's redemptive work, his forgiveness, when he says to Eve that her seed will crush the head of the serpent, the enemy. Already we see God's forgiveness at work. And we see his forgiveness to Adam and to Eve, to their children, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses, to Noah, to David, to the Israelites, over and over and over again. All of Scripture speaking of God's forgiveness and calling his people to be people of forgiveness. And then we come to Jesus and this passage today where Jesus makes it, if we didn't get it already, he makes it so clear that people who are followers of Christ must forgive their brother with their heart. And so that's how we get to this passage where Peter, at the time, you know, Peter asked this question. And apparently at the time, it was a common assumption among religious leaders that three times was a pretty good amount of time to forgive somebody if they sinned against you again. Three times, fourth time, probably it's okay to not forgive. So Peter is thinking, I'm holy. Seven. Seven times. That's the right number. Seven times. That's how many times we forgive, Lord, right? And of course, Jesus says, 77. And he does not mean literally count it out. Take your notebook out. If you're getting your notebook out and marking down until you get to 77 times, you're not doing it right. You're not getting the point. And so he goes on with the parable to show the incredible amount of forgiveness, giving us this story of that it just would be shocking. And it's a little less shocking to us, partly because we've heard it, but partly because we don't understand some of these numbers. So this servant, he's forgiven this 10,000 talents. Well, so what? I don't know what that is. Is that equivalent to bitcoins or something like that? 10,000 talents is something like, for us, saying a zillion dollars. It's an astronomical number that cannot be paid back. Some scholars have looked at and tried to add it up what it would be for a servant of that time to try to pay back 10,000 talents, and they've come up with somewhere around 200,000 years is about how long it might take to pay this debt back. And this servant, he owes this. How does he even owe this much? And the master is ready to collect. Of course he can't pay. So he falls down. It says, the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." No, he won't. He can't. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. He didn't say, "Just pay me back what you can," or "Get to work and get as much as possible right now." He took it all on himself, completely forgave him. And if you're hearing that, we're hearing that story for the first time, you're just thinking, "No, nobody's like that." And then it gets even more shocking when it goes to the next part, where this servant who's been forgiven an unbelievable amount goes out to try to collect from somebody who owes him just a little bit, something that could easily be paid back. And that this fellow servant cries out with the same words, "Have mercy on me, have pity on me." But he doesn't. It says he chokes him and says, "Pay me back," and throws him in the prison. The story is meant to shock. It's meant to say, how could anybody be like that? How could anybody treat somebody like that? And also, how could that master forgive such a great debt? It's only if we understand deep down in our hearts that this is the kind of unbelievable debt that we've been forgiven. That's the only way that's going to keep us when we come across. There are some things that, it's easy to forgive. But probably every one of you in this room, most every one of you, have lived long enough to have been really hurt. Some of you really badly. And it's only a strength and a depth in your heart of God's forgiveness to you that could help you overcome that, to forgive something so awful, something so terrible. The culture is more likely to say at this point, let's just be like Batman or the Punisher and forget it. It's too much if it goes too far. But we are followers of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. We forgive our brother with our heart. And so you can understand, if you don't believe that God, first of all, that he exists, then you can understand where you run into a wall eventually with forgiveness. And then beyond that, you have to believe that he's really just, that he really is righteous. Is that really true? And can he set all things right? That may be hard even for Christians. Sometimes we know it, we believe it, it's true. But sometimes it's hard to know, how will he set all things right? Because we don't know how. No society has ever figured out how to set, we have punishment, we have there for crimes, there's a justice system, but we all know that no justice system gets it perfectly right. But yet we believe in a God who does somehow know how to set everything right and has promised us that. If you believe in God, if you believe that he's really just, if you believe that he really can set all things right and really will wipe every tear away, that will go down deep in your heart. That'll give you strength to forgive when the crime that's committed against you is very, very great. There's many classic examples of like this that shock us, modern examples. Some of you may remember the attack on the Amish family years ago, but a really classic one that I just happened to read recently again was Corrie ten Boom's autobiography. Corrie ten Boom, if you don't know, don't remember, the Dutch woman who was instrumental in helping hide and free so many Jewish people during World War II, during the Nazi regime. And she was finally caught. And she and her sister and her father were taken to one of these prison camps. Father and her sister died there. She barely made it out. And she suffered immensely. And she saw immense suffering. But then afterwards, she went out all over Europe, proclaiming God's forgiveness and reconciliation to everyone. But she says in her autobiography, one day after one of the services at a church, one of the officers who she remembered well, who had mistreated her poorly, came up to her to thank her. Thank her for this message of forgiveness that a wretch like him who knew how much he owed, that he could never pay it back, could be forgiven. And he reached out his hand to shake her hand and thank her. And every one of us can sympathize. Everybody can understand. Christian or not, you can sympathize with what she felt at that moment. She did not want to shake his hand. She wanted to leave immediately and not give him forgiveness. How could she forgive such a person who'd done such things to her? The only way that I know is because deep down in her heart, she knew the unfathomable debt that she had been forgiven by Christ. That's the only thing I think that can give us strength through the hardest things that we must forgive. This is the way of the kingdom of heaven. It is a radical kingdom of forgiveness, shocking forgiveness. Now I want to point out that we believe in the great Reformation principles that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, not by being the best person at forgiving. We are saved by grace, by faith alone, through grace alone, by Christ alone. But if you have been saved in this way, then you are part of the kingdom of heaven. You are part of the people who forgive, who knows deep down in your heart that we must forgive our brother with our heart. We're not saved by forgiving. We're saved by the one who forgave us and calls us to forgive. The early 5th century Bishop Chromatius, I've quoted him a couple times, but nobody really knows him that well. He puts it this way: "For we are held in sin guilt, as if under the debt of some creditor note. The Son of God has annulled this note written against us by the water of baptism and the drops of his blood." That is that unfathomable debt that's been paid for us, how we have been forgiven. And when it sinks in our hearts, it is our strength to forgive others. So what happens when you get to a point where you just feel like, I don't know if I can forgive. I know the Lord calls me to, but I don't know if I can do it. This is so hard. I sympathize with you. Everybody can. So ask your brothers and sisters, ask the church for help. Tell those who love you around you, care for you, that this is hard, that you need their help, you need their prayers, you need their friendship and their counseling. That's what we're here for. That's why, one of the many reasons why God has brought us together. And ask Jesus. Ask him for help. He is the one who knows how to forgive. He is the one, by his drops of blood, we have been saved. He is sympathetic to all of our weaknesses. He knows what it is to be betrayed, to be hurt, and forgive at an unbelievable, unimaginable level. He knows that you might need time, that you might need your friends, that you might need more prayer. Turn to your Lord. And if anyone in this room, if you're one of the folks that are not sure that you really have believed yet, if you're not sure that he really is, God really exists, that he really is just, that he really will set everything right, that he really will wipe away every tear, I encourage you to believe. Ask him. Ask him if it's true. And if you believe and you haven't repented, you haven't forgiven, repent, forgive, be baptized if you haven't been baptized. And for all of us who continue in this journey and know that we must forgive and know that is what our Lord has done for us, I encourage you and I encourage myself, remember your baptism. That's why that font is out there, to help remind you. Dip your fingers in that water. Make the sign of the cross. Remember your baptism. Remember how you've been forgiven. Remember the drops of Jesus' blood shed for you. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy also toward those who fear him. Amen.